Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
This is a song I've been singing for a long time. It's like an old friend. But you know, I think it's only recently that I discover what it's really about. You've got to give a little, take a little, and let your poor heart breathe a little. That's the story of.
Hello.
Hello, Terry.
I'm here, guys.
I know, so am I. We're,
I'm here,
she
guys,
might...
and I'm here. You know, I'm already talking, and I forgot that I had muted my phone, so my apologies What I was saying was that song was for all my diehard Bette Midler fans. That was a tune called Glory of Love, and I did that for Chris, my co-host, who just loves Bette Midler.
But yeah, well, they all left the building, honey.
They all left the building. I hope they come back in.
Well,
let me thank my listeners, Mark, the one from North and East of West, and everyone in the United States, France, Germany, Senegal, Australia, UK, Canada, Nigeria, and Cameroon, Africa, Singapore, Japan, France, Iraq, Peru, Russia, India, Netherlands, Indonesia, Portugal, St. Vincent, and the Grenadine Islands. Wow, that was a mouthful. Woo! But I want to tell a story before we introduce our guest. What just happened today? You know, I was pulling into the gas pump, and I got more of my car in, and the other car came from the other way. And so we're sitting there like at a standstill, and I'm saying, okay, well, back up. He had like he wasn't trying to back up, so, you know, I kind of dug my heels in, and I said, I'm going to sit here. So eventually he started to back up, and I told my grandson, who was with me, to go knock on his window and ask him how much gas he had in his car. So when my grandson went to his car, he was nervous because he said, flinch and look back like, what's really going on? Because my grandson, even though he's 15, he's tall, real tall, 6 feet or whatever. So my grandson told him to wind his window down and asked him how much gas he had in the tank, and the gas that he had almost were empty. So my grandson said, well, we got you. After grandma get her gas, we're going to take care of yours too. And his eyes started bugging, and he was excited, really, for real? So I backed up, you know, after I got my gas, and he pulled up and he filled his gas tank and topped it off and everything. And then he got out of his car. He said, oh, man, thank you so much. Mr. Baby, just press it forward. But you don't know how good that made me feel just to do something nice for somebody just because. Because I didn't want him to think I was being a butt. So it was just like crazy, you know, and I implore everybody, you know, it don't take much to be nice to somebody, you know, show them kindness about looking for any reward, you know, just do it. And, also, I want to say hi to my co-host, and someone got some background going on. I don't know who's got it going on, but hi, Chris. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Hi, honey. I don't have anything going on except I'm rubbing my hair. Does that count?
I don't know.
Yeah, nothing on my end, but that's a great story.
Okay. Well, I guess it's going to be interesting for the people tonight to listen in, because a lot of us, when we have money, and sometimes it don't take much, it's just what you do with the money that you have and how to best make it work for you. And I guess Douglas Mirren, it's my pleasure. He has done so much, and he will share how to think so rich. This international renowned speaker, I'm not talking about locally, he's an international well-known speaker, leader, mentor, and filmmaker, has interviewed over 400 of the world's business and motivational speakers to glean the wisdom that creates personal power mastery. So, without further ado, we also want you to check out his book called Personal Power Mastery, and it'll have some tips that you can reiterate on later. And we're going to turn this over to our phenomenal guest, Doug. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for having me, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Doug, is there somebody in the background talking where you at?
There's no background talking. In fact, I had me on mute, so I'm not sure what that is.
So it's not just me, right?
No, it's not me either. It's not me either, so.
I don't know. Must be something about technology.
Yeah, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Whatever, they're supposed to be here. Y'all need to get up out of here right now. Let's even have guests on our show, psychics and mediums and stuff. And I don't know if something's a test or stuff, but it needs a flea. Because we want to hear you clearly. Because I need you to tell me how to take my little bit of pennies and turn them coins into dollar bills.
There you go.
So tell us a little something about yourself, Doug.
Well, I guess, you know, the place a lot of people like to start, they want to know, how did I get started with all this? To be honest with you, I didn't have a background where I came from a lot of wealth. I didn't have a background where I understood even personal development. In fact, my my dad worked in construction, and my mom babysat kids in the home. And so they were lower, you know, middle income class, right? And their idea of work smarter actually was to work harder, to put more hours in. That was their idea of it. And so, you know, I wasn't raised with any specific special formula on how to make money. We didn't have any money. So about the time I was in college, I ran into a book called Think and Grow Rich. And in that book, if you remember, Napoleon Hill, who's the author of that book, he went out and he interviewed 400 of the world's top achievers, people in his day like Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, the Rockefellers, the Wright brothers, that kind of gang. And he wrote Think and Grow Rich. So when I read that book, I decided I wanted to do the same because I wanted the same secrets of success in my life. And so I went out and I interviewed more than 400 of the world's top achievers in our day. And as I started that project, you're talking about money. Well, here's the deal, is who you surround yourself with makes a really big difference in terms of what influences you and your thinking. And so with that mission in mind, I started meeting with top achievers. And in my first 6 months as a 19-year-old, I did $1.6 million. Which is about $9,000 a day. Yeah.
Wow.
So here's the deal. You want the secret formula right up front? We can give it to you right up front, and then we can talk about the details on it. But there's really two things that are required for success. The first thing is you got to be willing. And there's a lot of people who, even if you give them all the secrets in the world, all the strategies in the world, if they're not willing, they're never, ever going to accomplish a thing. So that willingness is important. The second, as I mentioned, is the correct strategy. They need to have the right blueprint to follow in order to be financially successful. And so when I started gaining those two things in my life, all of a sudden everything just lit up, right? And that's what's going to happen to your listeners too.
Wow, that's something. Well, I found out where the interference of the noise was coming from. For some reason, it was coming from Mark's, and I muted everybody's line to see where it was coming from. So what I'm going to do... I'm going to let Mark ask his question. I'm going to open up his line and then put it back in your
And then we'll shut him down.
Poor guy. I have to shut him down. It was noisy. So here we go, Mark. How you doing?
Hi, darling. You know who I think it is? I think it's my friend who wants to get rich quick. Her name is Kathy.
Uh-huh.
I told her earlier that you were going to – no, listen, I told her – I'm not going to answer, okay? But I told her earlier that you were going to be on, so she, you know, it might be her, but I'm not going to answer. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm so happy to have you on. Wow.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, it's so funny that you talk about that get rich quick idea. Just a quick little thing on that. You know, a lot of people always say you got to be careful of get rich quick, but the truth of the matter is you get to decide how quick it's going to be. What's quick to some people is very slow to others. And right now, if you look at what the world record for the fastest 0 to 1 million is, 6 minutes and 33 seconds. Now, like I said, that's get rich quick for some people, but you get to decide the speed. So don't be thrown off by that idea of get rich quick. You get to decide, first of all, what rich looks like and how quick you want to do it.
Exactly. But, you know, first of all, I mean, I you know, when I live in an apartment, right? But back when I had a home, it took me forever to motivate me to do the lawn. I mean, how do you get an unmotivated person to motivate? First of all, let's start from basics.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I think the easiest way to explain that. As we went out and we interviewed the world's top achievers and been teaching this stuff around the world since, I've noticed that really the ideas of motivation and values are very closely connected. If you think about it kind of like a seesaw, when somebody has high motivation, you can generally see that it's in correspondence to their values, right? So if someone has something that they really don't see much value in, it's going to take a lot to get them off the couch. It's going to take a lot to get them going. But if you can find something that they have high value in, it takes very low motivation to get them to do that. So here's the thing. If you want to get somebody to do something or you want to get yourself motivated, you've got to find a way to really connect it to things that you value most. If you can't see a connection to the things you value, oftentimes it doesn't really matter how much motivation someone has, you'll never get started.
Wow, that's a good point. That's a good point. So, Mark, is there anything else you want to ask before I go to Chris?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, darling. Mark, I'm going to put you in mute status, and if you want to ask another question or if I don't call you fast enough, just hit your one key. And anybody out there who's listening who want to ask a question or make a comment, want to talk to Doug, 347-945-6003 and hit the one key, and I will unmute you. All right, Chris, darling, it's time for your question.
All right. Hello, my name is Chris Michael Ward. My question is, how old was you when you felt successful? And how old was you when you felt the most successful?
You know, that's a really interesting question. A lot of people say, you know, when they come to our seminar, that they come because they want to have an amazing life. And I'm very, I guess, a bit put off when I hear that, because I believe we all have an amazing life. What we are seeking is amazing experiences. And so I think I've always felt satisfied and happy with who I was as a person, which is a form of success. But I'm always obviously seeking to expand who I am and what I can become. So I'm not sure that maybe that answers your question a little bit, but let me maybe answer it also another way that kind of comes to mind. You know, you hear this saying that success or happiness is a choice, right? Like happiness is a choice. I'm here to tell you that I think that that's only partially true. I think that happiness is really a matter of feeling great about the choices you're making, but even maybe more important, the consequences that follow. And I think in our society today, a lot of people don't really think about the consequences, right? We just think that as long as we have the freedom to choose this and that and the other, everything is like we're abundantly free. But the truth of the matter is consequence always follows choice. In fact, a few years ago, I was invited by the Viktor Frankl Society. Some of you may remember Viktor Frankl wrote the book Man's Search for Happiness, and he was the fellow that Man's Search for Meaning, he was the guy that was in the concentration camp. And he actually, or his society, headed by his wife at the time, they recognized that in the United States, on one coast, we've got the Statue of Liberty. And what they really felt is that was a one-sided equation, that there needed to be another statue on the West Coast called the Statue of Responsibility. You see, liberty requires responsibility. Choice has also consequence. And happiness means that we make the right choices that create the best consequences for all involved. So to answer your question, when was the most successful that I've ever felt? I've always felt happy with my choices. I've always felt successful in that regard. But I also believe that the best is yet to come. I really believe that my best and greatest successes, in fact, here's maybe another way of looking at this as well. My greatest success will actually be through what my children and my students are able to achieve. That's going to be a full measure of who I am. Because what do they say? That a master is always a reflection of his students. If his students are all failures, the master wasn't much of a teacher at all, was he? So hopefully that answers
that's
that in a long roundabout way, doesn't it?
Yeah, that answers it. Yeah, I like it.
This is based on recently when the lottery was in the billions for the Mega Millions, Powerball, whatever. But, you know, a lot of times people will say that I'm just barely paying all of my bills. I don't have this or that. But everyone, they went beyond what they normally do, including myself, because I'm not a lottery player. So I said, don't hurt. You know, and I spent money that I normally wouldn't have spent. You know, when you started teaching people how to become rich and successful, if you weren't already born into money or had friends that were lenient with giving you finances, what did you really need to get yourself started for these people who are, like, living from paycheck to paycheck? How much is the least they can invest to get on the right road?
Well, let's start actually by answering another question first, or make another statement first. Did you realize that money problems are not created by money? They're not.
No, no.
It's a mindset, and it's a certain set of habits, and it's a certain set of behavior. And if I can maybe also expand on that in just one simple way, if you really want to know the quick way to start making better decisions, look at which of your decisions are based on immediate gratification versus long-term results. Every choice that is based on immediate gratification will always have negative repercussions. Right? So we've got to be very careful when you're...
And my need first,
yeah, go ahead.
That's going to be a negative thing?
Well, here's the deal. There's a difference between a need, a true need, and immediate gratification. Where you're in this shopping mall and you see a pair of shoes that you really, really feel like you immediately need, and you pull out your credit card and you get into debt to have that, that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
But if you're looking truly, if your truest and highest values are to create wealth and have financial security and financial freedom, you're not going to fall into the trap of immediate gratification. You're going to recognize that there's that old saying that says, if you play now, you get to pay later. But if you pay now, you get to play later with interest. And the problem with most people is they'd rather, like, squander their money when it's immediately in their hands rather than prepare for the future. Now, here's the good news, though, just to tell you about the way that I see things, the way I've developed things in my life, is that it doesn't take very long for you to start putting things aside until you can play. It doesn't take long to make a difference. The problem is most people aren't willing to let go of the immediate, and you've got to put your gratification on hold, even for just a little bit, to be able to build some distance. Now, the other thing I'm going to suggest is that most people try to go out and make a lot of money right away. Can I tell you what the first step is? You ask, what's the smallest amount you need to invest? Well, I'll tell you what the first step to investing is. It's to contract instead of expanding. So take a look currently at where you're spending your money and look for some ways to cut back the stuff that's unnecessary. That is an investment. If you pull the money out of the things that you're throwing it away, maybe you're paying excess service fees, maybe you're buying too much coffee, maybe you're spending time at fast food every day or whatever. If you cut back on those things, that's actually a form of cash flow coming back in your pocket. And you can redirect that. So the first thing I'm going to say, instead of looking at where you can invest, because most people, if you're not investing now, you're not going to start investing tomorrow. But the first thing that you could do is if you start making some better choices and you're contracting instead of looking for more places to expend, then you're going to start to have a little bit of money. Now, let's answer this question, where can I find a good investment? That's really two questions. One is the geography of where you're going to go to find that investment. The second question is what is a good investment for you? Because the other thing is there's a lot of places you can make money. In fact, I identify with my students that there's four major areas where all money is made. It's either in business, real estate, investing in things like stock market, mutual funds, Forex, et cetera, or your intellectual property. Now, the truth of the matter is investing in the stock market doesn't work for everybody. Some people just don't have the ability to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They either don't have the patience to do it or whatever. Some people, real estate is their gem. Other people, real estate's a tough gig. Some people, business is their gig and it works really well, right? So you got to kind of find where you're at. In fact, you know, something I'll share right off the bat is we've got kind of an aptitude test that people can take. It's about 100 questions and it'll tell you where you need to be, right? Like if your skill is business, it'll tell you, go business. If it's to put your money into an investment and step away, don't touch it ever again, that might be the place you need to be, right? So we have a test, and you know, I'm sure you know you guys, if you come and find me on Facebook or whatever, on social media, Douglas Vermeeren or DouglasVermeeren.com, we'll make sure we get one into your hands for free. You just ask me for it. We'll email it to you. But it's important to understand that investing isn't the same for everybody. You've got to find the vehicle that's going to work for you. And then how much money do you need to invest? That was the last question you asked. Tell you the truth, not a whole lot, right? In fact, one of the things that I did very early in my life just to show how it works, like to make money, is I took a dollar and I turned it into $1 million in 180 days. And so,
how did you do that?
Yeah, so, well, can you keep a secret?
I'll try.
So can I.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'd be happy to tell you guys again. Start following us on social media. I share a lot of these strategies and tactics quite regularly. But here's the deal. It really comes down to having a bit of self-control, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you can make a lot of money quickly. I find the best way to do it is to actually have a very steady, secure, and predictable cash flow. Money basically arrives in two ways, either events or streams. events, kind of like when you sell real estate, you make a lot of money, or you do a big business deal, you make a lot of money. Maybe you get an inheritance or you win the lottery. I mean, we'll take those events when they come, but streams are the ones that you want. It's kind of like your heart beating, right? If it beat once every 6 months, you're going to die. What you want is regular, ongoing streams that are predictable and flowing. That's what's going to make you rich. And that's kind of the strategy that I teach my students. How do you build these streams so that your wealth is predictable?
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I tell you what, we need to take a little small break and we'll come back and we'll unmute Mark's mic because he got some questions for you. So everybody stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Controversial. Real. Unparalleled. Author is Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, createspace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked Friday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible. For he would not leave you.
while, and that tune I just played was by Brandy. It's called Missing You, and that was in that movie Set It Off with Queen Latifah, Vivica Fox. Oh, that's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, go get one of those movies. A classic. It's a great movie. I'm getting ready to open up Mark's mic. Mark, before I do that, if you're on speaker, take it off, and maybe we can get rid of some of that noise in the background. So this is for Mark because he got a question for our guest, Doug. Hey, Mark, your mic is open.
Hi, darling. I don't
hey,
know
darling.
What you're talking about, but I have nothing, nobody here pestering me. I'm here
well,
all
okay.
alone. The fan is off. Everything's off. Anyway, when Terry told me, Doug, that you were coming on the show, I thought about my principle of stewardship and how I deal what I do with my money, right?
Yeah.
Doug?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, I'm on a limited income, right? Because I'm 65 and I have a little bit of savings backed up, you know. But you know, I thought to myself, what do I do with my money? A lot of my money goes to food and taking care of other people, like you know,
okay.
donations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So. What is your principle of stewardship, and how do you, you know, whatever your income is, what's that all about?
Well, let me see if I understand your question a little bit. Are you asking what are my feelings on giving back from the income that we have? Is that what you're asking me?
No, in anybody's circumstance, what is the principle of stewardship mean?
Well, I definitely think that, you know, everything that we've been given here on this planet is kind of on loan to us. So we're all stewards. What we're going to choose to do with it is again, going to be an individual choice. Now, I kind of like what I was talking with Bob Proctor one time, and Bob Proctor kind of said it this way, is that, you know, money is a big magnifying glass, basically. If you're a jerk before, it's going to make you a bigger jerk, right? If you're a giving and kind person, money's going to make you a better and kinder person. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah,
that
but he also wrote Money Makes the World Go Round.
There you go. But there was a study that was done a handful of years ago on how and where people spend their money. And there's really only three places. The first area is called quality of life. Obviously, that's on you, right? The second is to create. That can be such things as investing or building a business or education. That's all the areas that will make you money. But the final place is called contribution. And that can be giving back either to your community, to a charity, to a legacy fund, to helping others, maybe an orphanage, whatever you want to do. Now, the interesting thing about this study is they also measured your happiness and your joy factors with each of those three areas. And they found that when you take care of yourself, like quality of life, there's a limited window of you'll feel good for a while, but when the novelty of, say, that new car or the nice outfit wears off, you're kind of back to square one, right? With to create, you get a sense of progress that you're being able to move forward. So that feels pretty good, right? But the one that actually provided the most joy was the to contribute. When we give back, especially to those that cannot repay us, they found that that was the area that gave people the most joy out of all the spending that we could possibly do. So I think that that's a great idea. I personally am a giver. I believe that's one of the reasons that I've been blessed to be wealthy is because I love to give back. I love to take care of people. And so we make it a significant part of our mission, meaning my wife and I and our family, a significant part of our mission is to give back and to lift where we can. Now, I will also mention that that doesn't always mean just pulling out a checkbook. Sometimes that means helping people to become self-reliant, which is actually a little bit stronger again. It comes back to that principle of give a man a fish and he eats for a day, or teach a man and he fishes for life. I'm also a believer that if you take a man to the lake, put a fishing rod in his hand, and work with him, he becomes a much better fisher.
Okay.
Well,
that answers a large part of my question. Thank you.
That's good.
Well, thank you for asking it.
I sent you a friend request, so... I want you to teach me how to fish, you know, fish and make bring back some
snacks. There you go. There you go.
Chris, let me ask you a question, darling.
Absolutely.
All right. All right, well, since Election Day is Tuesday, and I hope everybody votes, my question is, do you think that it's worth giving our money to candidates that we believe in?
That's a great question. You know, I think it is, and not just candidates. I think anything in the world that you choose to support is a valid recipient for your efforts and your investment. I'm not going to necessarily suggest who people shouldn't vote for or invest in that capacity, because I believe it's a personal thing. But I believe if something resonates with you, then yes, you should pursue it.
Okay.
Pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for you, Doug, before I get back to Mark. Because you have done well, you know, it seems like people of a like mindset, they hang out together. Like, I know you've talked to a whole lot of these high, powerful, motivator speakers and stuff. So because you're in that arena where you're making lots and lots of money, how does that affect when you go to church? Because some churches says give 10%. Other churches says that in the New Testament, we give as we have, you know, people from the Church of Christ. There's a little difference. So because you've been blessed, is there a certain point where you're giving too much that you want to feel like you don't want to feel selfish? How would a person know when they're giving too much because they got it? Sometimes you give it all away, you ain't going to have nothing.
Well, I believe that there's obviously some wisdom that needs to be in here. Here's the thing. Two thoughts come to my mind when you say that. One is something Jim Rohn said. He says you can't give from an empty piggy bank. So you got to make sure that you have the ability to keep the piggy bank full, right? So, you know, we don't give beyond what's wise. And I guess the other thing that I'm just kind of thinking is, you know, I think that this idea of, you know, if we're talking scriptural here, in the book of Malachi, you remember, it talks about bringing the tithes into the storehouse, and he talks about specifically, you know, the definition of tithing is the Greek word. It means 10% of the dime, right? 10%. But I'm a firm believer that that is a bare minimum. I really think that, you know, and it's not just about money here, too. I think sometimes the harder thing for people to give is time, right? Like, you know, their time, their effort, their attention, their caringness, their mentorship. I think money is easier to give for many people than there is for time. And so I think even if you are the richest guy in the world, you've got to be very careful that you give a balance of all things so that it's not just you're buying your way to heaven, so to speak. So for our family, what we do is we obviously pay a tithing to the church that we go to, but we also do a very generous contribution otherwise, you know, to those that are needy within our congregation or those other aspects that we feel we need to. But we don't stop there. We also give to the local children's hospital. We also give to some of the local charities. In fact, a lot of my events that we do, we raise funds and food for the local food bank. And we also do it as a bit of a project where the people in our classes, we actually are the guys that go and deliver and distribute oftentimes the food items. And then the other thing that I do personally as a speaker, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but if you have a valid student ID, so if you are in, you know, a middle school or a high school or a college or a university, if you have a valid student ID, you either come to our events for free if you're middle school or high school, or if you're in university or college, you come in at a reduced rate. So we really are all about education and giving back. And that has, you know, maybe indirectly it has to do with money because we're not getting paid, right? We're leaving money on the table. But I believe we're doing something bigger by creating this legacy of allowing these students to come for free. I believe that, you know, it just takes sometimes one good idea, one good thought for a student to stay on the right track to decide to do more than they can.
Well, I just want to say this, Doug. You know, a lot of times when I see people who have on military uniforms or hats that show that we were in the military before, I always tell them, thanks for serving our country. You know, when you started talking about the book of Malachi, you let me know from jump that you are a Christian. You know, and I just want to thank you for having that heart to reach out and help other people, because like you said, it's not always about the money in your pocket. It's about the service that you give someone else to build them up, let them see there's light at the end of the tunnel. And that so impressed me so much that you said so. So I thank you for being a person like that, because I'm living in a world with a bunch of scandalous people, and when I see somebody who got a heart, man, that makes me feel so good, you know, to say, yes, I met another Christian. I met somebody who's not trying to get over, not trying to be selfish. So I appreciate you talking, because you show me your heart, man, and that means a lot to me, you know. I just got to say that, and I'm just going to open the mic. Yeah, you're welcome for Mark to say his question.
Well, you know, I've loved everything I'm listening for, too. Doug, what is your latest message that you want to impart to all of our listeners?
Well, I think the easiest way to say this, maybe in one sentence, is if you want to expand what you have, you've got to expand who you are. And that is totally within your power. Whatever you want in life, whatever you want to become, here's the deal. Inside each one of us, we have a certain brilliance. And as soon as you begin to believe in that brilliance and then feed it by your actions and your activities, you're going to find that everything around you will get better. And you have a choice to do that. It is within your power, and you can choose it. It's not something that you need permission for. It's not something that you need to wait for someone to open a door for you. It is yours right now, and you can do it whether you have $1 million in your hand or you've got nothing in your hand. It's irrelevant. You can start right now by expanding who you are, and that's the message that I think is the most important. Believe in who
you
are.
So, Doug, what do you write on your to-do list?
Do I write my to-do list?
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. If you saw my to-do list, okay, let me maybe share it this way. I was meeting with – no, but this is important. This is important. One of my mentors, I meet with him every single Friday. I still have a mentor. This guy's worth about $800 million. So every Friday I'm having lunch with this guy. And so I was sitting with him the other day, and he said something to me that blew me away, okay? So he said, you read in all these success books and all these wealth books, this concept that you need to pay yourself first, right? We've all heard this. And he says that that is totally wrong. He says, if you think about it, if you were on the Titanic, we just got hit by the iceberg, everybody's getting into the life raft, and you pay yourself first, that means you push through past everybody, and you get into the lifeboat, and you're ready to go. That's kind of selfish, right? So he says, we do pay ourselves first, but we do it in the right and appropriate way. He says, if you had a lifeboat to fill, and the ship is going down, you're going to start by putting the things that are most precious to you. Here's my to-do list. I first put my family on the boat, okay? So my wife, my kids, all the things that are really important to me, get on the boat before I do. Then the next thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to put on the things that will take care of us. So in other words, if I am going to wind up on a deserted island, I need a guy that can hunt, a guy that can fish, a guy that can build shelter, send a signal flare. I need that stuff on the boat, right? Or we're not going to survive very long. So from a business point of view, I actually take care of my own customers before I take care of myself. I take care of my staff before I take care of myself. And that keeps the golden goose going. If I, you know, receive a bunch of money from a customer, and then I go and buy a brand new vehicle that he sees me driving around before I help him, it's not going to look too good, and he's not going to come back, right? So I take care of things in their proper order. And then when everything is on the boat that is important to me and priority to me, then I'll get on the boat, and I'll take care of me next, right? So you're asking, how do I organize my day? That's how I do it, man. I put me last, and I serve, and I build, and I bless, and I try and do everything I can to take care of everything I can before I take care of me. And at the end
of
the day...
That's the power of taking ownership and responsibility for yourself and others right there.
You're 100% right. And you know what's funny is as I have done this, this is maybe a big aha for some people, but as I have taken care of others first, everything for me has come together. That's what's made me wealthy. Because here's the deal. If I make my investors money, they're always happy to bring money back to me. If I make my family happy, they're always aware that they can trust me and that they know that I've got their back. If I take care of my customers, I never have a shortage of customers. Like, you take care of other people first, and everything will come back to you.
So how do people get it backwards?
I think it's I think there's a couple things. Our society doesn't really share it very well. Our society oftentimes tells you that you got to look out for number one. It tells you that, you know, like I said, you pay yourself first, or, you know,
our president, okay? Anyway.
No comment. But you know what? He was one of the guys I interviewed, and even though, you know, he may have a lot of critics out there, he's a pretty smart business guy. But there are a few things that, you know, I mean, you know, even me talking the talk like this, there's days I get it wrong. Like, don't kid yourself. There's days that even I get it wrong and I'm talking this way. So I think we just need to be gentle with people, whether it's the president or anybody else. I think we need to be much more gentle with people than we are.
All right now. Well, I see that Chris got a question. And Chris, go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris, I put you in mute status. Chris, you got a question.
Yeah.
Question, darling.
All right. Well, my question to you is, with all due respect, and, you know, I just, you know, I'm not asking for anything personal, but you say he's a smart businessman. How is Trump a smart businessman, in your opinion?
Well, I think the thing I admire most about him, in fact, you know what? It's funny. I just recently wrote a couple of articles for the New York Daily News. One, what we can learn about Trump and how he deals with his haters. You might want to check that one out. It's pretty interesting. And the next is what salespeople can learn from Donald Trump, because he is a very masterful salesperson. The thing I think he's done very well, like the strongest thing that he's done in business, and let's be honest, I mean, I'm sure a lot of his deals, if we were to dissect them, there's probably some integrity issues there, but I'm not going to judge. But what I will say is I think he's done very well at positioning himself and branding himself from a business point of view. But I don't want to get too much into Trump, because I don't want to come across as a critic. Everybody's got their opinion. Some people really love him. Some people really don't. Bottom line is no matter who you vote for, the government gets in. So it's not always easy, right?
I know, right?
No, the facts are facts. The facts are facts. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, unbelievable. Yeah,
I'm trying to be somewhat politically correct in answering this. I don't want to, anyways, but, you know, he's got his lovers. He's got his haters. I mean, there's some stuff I'm sure he's doing pretty good. There's some stuff, Lee, that no matter who is in you know, the presidency, there's going to be concerns and complaints. I'm just grateful
all
that
right.
It's not my job, because if it was
my job, I was just asking.
Yeah, I'd be in real trouble if it was my job.
All right, no offense.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let Mark take this question. Go ahead, Mark, darling.
Okay, how is your philosophies and things benefited you and your family?
Well, that's a great question. Well, I think that we're still seeing the benefits, and not just my family, but my students around the world as well. You know, obviously, those that have done, you know, what we're sharing and what we've discovered with the interviews with the 400 top achievers, we've seen a lot of people build some massive amounts of wealth. They've built a lot of freedom and opportunity. But here's the deal, is we don't just teach about wealth. We teach about all kinds of other things that deal with success. So we've seen people who've improved their relationships, and that they've, you know, people who've increased their self-worth and their self-esteem, that they've been able to dial into just a better version of themselves overall. So I think that those are the consequences that I see. And one of my proudest moments, just to kind of share, right after we did the movie The Opus, which is our first movie that I did, my son is in it, and at the time he was 9. And we were invited to show up on a television show to discuss this. And so can you imagine, I'm on live TV, I'm bringing my 9-year-old son, and the reporter asks him, he says, "What does your dad teach you at home?" I'm like, oh, no, this is going to go south in a hurry, right? Like, I've got my 9-year-old here, and he's going to now reveal what happens at home, because we're not perfect. I want everybody to know that. But right away, he says to the reporter, he simply says, "My dad taught me that whatever I put my mind to, I can do it." And so I was like, oh, my gosh, we're stopping at Toys R Us on the way home for sure now, right? But it was like, if that's what he got, if that's what he received, just that alone was enough to let me know that we're on the right track, right? So that was one of the proudest moments of my life. And I see that with a lot of our students. And I've got, you know, it's funny, I've got students that come up to our events in the UK. I've had people bring their kids who are 5 and 6 years old to learn from us. But the oldest lady that we've had is 87. And so we've got people from all that range that are experiencing life changes. And I'm really proud of what people have been able to receive because of what we've been able to discover with these world's top achievers. I mean, I don't have an exclusive on the material that's taught there. Obviously, you guys are, you know, talking about the Bible here as well. A lot of the materials there are found already within the Holy Book. But most people, you know, unless it comes from a, you know, someone who's made $1 million or $2 million or $1 billion, they just really have a hard time listening, right? So these things aren't, you know, it's not like it's always brain science. But the one thing that I found that maybe, you know, is also important is just to really see the application of it in day-to-day, in our current environment, right? Like, how do you apply this in such a way that you're going to get the results that you really need? And I think that this is something that I'm excited that we really share, how you can do that, right?
Okay, well, let me ask you this question real quick before we get up out of here. You know, your course, how long is your course, and how much does it take to get in? Or do a person have to get a student loan to you know?
It's an arm and a leg, that's right, yeah. No, it's not super expensive, and there's a variety of ways that you can do it. We offer it online. We have it as a weekend course, like a three-day course. We've also got a retreat that we do that's multi-day. So, you know, it's pretty accessible. And many of our courses, like I've got one that's online that starts at $59, right?
Oh, wow.
So they're not super expensive. Here's the deal, like, you know, aside from other personal development people who make all their money, like a lot of these other guys make their money by selling people seminars, I make my money because I own businesses and I own real estate and I'm making money elsewhere. So a lot of our stuff, we share it pretty easy. And if you want to get some free stuff right away, we got tons of free materials. Go to YouTube, put in my name. You'll see all kinds of videos that we put up there for free. We also have a Facebook group called Personal Power Mastery. It's free. There's lots of free stuff. And here's the deal is if you get our vibe, you'll become our tribe. We don't want your money till you know that we can help you. And if we can help you, well, then obviously it makes sense to invest. So come check us out for free. Don't spend any money until you see what we've got. Then you'll be pleased.
So it's Personal Power Mastery on Facebook. We can join there.
Yeah.
Or go to YouTube and get this information for free. Oh, I like that.
Well, you'll get it for free on both places. And there's a lot of my TV appearances on YouTube, too. So you type in my name in YouTube, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. And we'll teach you everything from wealth to success to you name it. It's all there, right?
I so appreciate that. Well, we don't have much time, so Doug, could you tell everyone how to reach you? Because they need to know. I know we just touched on Facebook and we touched on YouTube, but any other media sites or any other ways that they can reach you?
Yeah, we actually have linked a lot of our media together. So if you even type in personalpowermastery.co. So personalpowermastery.co, that'll give you links to all kinds of stuff, my website, social media, all kinds of other resources for you that are free and available. So that's probably the easiest way to remember. And then, of course, you can get our book on Amazon right now. And, you know, it's a great book. It's got all kinds of cool tools in it that you can immediately take your life to a next level. And I don't know what it's selling for, but it's, what, maybe $20, something like that?
Yeah. So I know you did say it. You had a lady was like in her 80s who came to learn how to, you know, think and grow rich. So there's never too old to get your finances back on track.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that lady, her name's Ingrid, she also at 87 just started dating again. So go figure.
Okay.
You're never too old for nothing. And we cheer her on, man. I said, you're going to invite me to the wedding. And she said, you know, you're going to be my bridesmaid. And I laughed and I said, I will. I'll do it.
That's
why
wonderful.
Not?
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Life's about having fun, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, time has got away from us, and you have my phone number. We can talk later about other guests and about the Personal Power Mastery. So, Chris and Mark, say good night to our wonderful guests.
Good night.
Thank you so much, guys. You've enlightened us so much.
Thank you again for having me. You guys are so awesome.
anytime you want to come back, Doug, be my guest. So just give me a call and we'll get you back on the roster. And for the listeners, I hope y'all appreciate that because, you know, messing up our funds. And like he said, it don't take much. So we got to start thinking the right way so we can become so rich. I really appreciate that. And it's free. Go to YouTube, Doug Vermeeren, and that's spelled Vermeeren. And get some knowledge up inside of you. And, Doug, thank you again, darling, for being with us. And once you come on Unmasked, feel like this is home, you can always come back.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it.
All right, dear. And we're taking everyone home with the song by Usher, Confessions, Part 1.
Hello. Yo, I'm in the booth. I'm going to call you right back. Nah, I just got to put this one part down. I'm going to call you back. I'm at the studio, man. Man, quit playing with me, man. No, for real, don't play like that. Are you serious? How you know? Put that on everything. Damn. I'ma call you back. I'ma call you back.
Every time I was in L.A., I was with my ex-girlfriend. Every time you called, I told you, baby, I'm working.
No.
What's out doing my dirt?
Oh.
I'm thinking about you getting hurt.
Put
hand in hand in the Beverly Center like, man, not giving a damn who sees me.
So gone, so wrong.
Just
like I didn't have you sitting at home.
Thinking about me, being the good girl that you are. I bet you probably believe you got a good man. I'm in and never would do the things I'm about to tell you I've done. Brace yourself, it ain't good. But it would be the worst if you heard this from somebody else. I know you hate me. I know I hurt you. But there's more. Listen. Watch this.
These are my confessions. That's when I thought I said all I could say. My chick on the side. She got one on the way. These are my confessions. Man, I'm thrown in. What to do? I guess I gotta keep part two of my confession. If I'm gonna tell it, then I gotta tell it all. Damn, they cried when I got that phone call. I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do, but to keep part two of my confession.
Now, it's gonna be the hardest thing I think I ever had to do. Got me talking to myself, asking how I'm gonna tell you. Bought that chick on part one, I told y'all I was creeping with. Creeping with. Say she's 3 months pregnant and she's keeping it. The first thing that came to mind was you. Second thing was, how do I know if it's fine and is it true? Third thing was me wishing that I never did what I did. How I ain't ready for no kid and bye bye to a relationship.
These are my confessions. That's when I thought I said all I could say. My chick on the side.
Figure out when, what, and how I'ma let this come out of my mouth. Said it ain't gonna be easy, but I need to stop thinking, contemplating, be a man and get it over with. Over with. I'm riding in my whip, racing to her place, talking to myself, preparing to tell her to her face.
She opened up the door and didn't wanna come near me.
I said, what's that, baby? Please hear me.
Thing I think I've ever had to do to tell you, the woman I love, that I'm having a baby by a woman that I barely even know. I hope you can accept the fact that I'm man enough to tell you this, and hopefully you'll give me another chance. This ain't
about my career. Ain't about my life. It's about us. Please.
Keep it quiet.